range of predators. Mission objectives priority. 1. Self-preservation. 2. Observation of leviathans. 3. Report accumulated data on schedule. 4. Report new phenomena immediately. 5. Observation of predators. Central computer. Follow predator swarm, assuming that they will lead to leviathans. Mission protocol program. Warning! Predator swarm near mission profile depth limit. Leviathans may be below mission profile depth limit. Central computer. Follow predator swarm to depth limit of mission profile.
No leviathans? Andy Corvus asked, wide-eyed with disbelief. Not even one? Max Yeager shook his head. Not even one. Corvus had dropped in at the control center after another disappointing swim with the dolphins. Only one of the consoles was manned. Even the cute little Russian chief controller had taken off. Yeager sat at one of the consoles, looking weary and rumpled, his long hair tangled, his chin dark with several days' growth of stubble. Where are they? Corvus asked. Irritated, Yeager jabbed a finger at the console's central screen. You see any? They're not there. Nowhere in sight. Corvus stared at the screen as if he could make the leviathans appear by sheer willpower. I've checked all the data 16 times from Sunday, Yeager grumbled. Faraday entered the ocean smack in the middle of their usual feeding grounds, but they aren't there. With a shake of his shaggy head, he added, They must be down lower, maybe too deep for her to reach them. Maybe the ship scared them off? Yeager gave him a sour look. My baby might look big to you, Andy, but to those damned whales it's just a little minnow. She didn't scare them. Frowning with puzzlement, Corvus muttered, Maybe something else did, then.
Faraday Central Computer. Query core memory re-attacks on submersible vessels by predators. Core memory. Attacks by predators not unusual. Two earlier submersible vessels lost, presumably due to predator attacks. Mission objectives priority. 1. Self-preservation. 2. Observation of leviathans. 3. Report accumulated data on schedule. 4. Report new phenomena immediately. 5. Observation of predators. Mission protocol program. Warning. Approaching depth limit of mission profile. Systems check. All systems functioning within design parameters. Central computer. Do not exceed depth limit of 1,000 kilometers. Logic tree. Prime directive of self-preservation can be achieved by maintaining sufficient distance from predators to forestall their attacks. Central computer. Follow predators while maintaining existing distance from them. Logic tree. Why do predators attack inanimate vessels? Possibility 1. Predators do not have enough intelligence to recognize inanimate objects from potential edible prey. Possibility 2. Predators behaving analogously to predators of Earth by staking out hunting territory and resisting encroachment by others. Question. Are predator attacks simple reflex action or territorial behavior? Not enough data to decide. Subsidiary question. If behavior is territorial, how do predators distinguish particular locations? Are there characteristics of the ocean environment undetected by ships' sensors, but clearly discernible to predators? Central computer. Insufficient data to derive meaningful solution. Continue following predators. Maintain existing distance. Do not exceed depth limit. Safety subprogram. Warning. Increasing depth causing rising internal temperatures. Query. Are rising internal temperatures causing system malfunctions? Safety subprogram. All systems operating within nominal limits. Central computer. Continue existing course. Sensor report. Predator pack has divided into two segments. One is continuing on course. The other has reversed course and is heading toward this vessel.
Observation deck. Deirdre felt her breath catch in her throat. She had agreed to meet Mrs. Westfall in the observation deck of Station Gold, a special section of the second wheel with a long window of glass steel looking out into space. The deck was empty and dark when Deirdre entered, like the observation blister aboard Australia. Once she closed the hatch, she seemed to be hanging in the middle of infinity, swarms of stars gleaming all about her, solemn and unblinking, stars of all colors blazing their light across the universe. Deirdre took an unsteady step across the glass steel floor. It was like walking on the face of the deep. And then, as the station slowly rotated, massive Jupiter rose majestically into view. The planet loomed huge, immense, its varicolored clouds churning and whirling before Deirdre's staring eyes. It filled her vision, engulfed her senses like a true god, encompassing everything. Deirdre felt herself trembling. Jupiter, king of the gods, mightiest of all the planets of the solar system. She reached out her hand as the incredible swirling beauty of the planet slid unhurriedly before her amazed eyes. Her fingertips touched the cold solidity of the glass-steel window. For long minutes, she stood there, transfixed, watching the giant planet's roiling, eddying clouds. Close enough to touch, she thought. Almost close enough to touch. Then the station's rotation swung Jupiter out of her view. She watched the curve of the planet's limb, brilliant against the blackness of space, slowly swing out of sight. How pale the stars seemed, how distant and cold. The hatch opened, and the floor lights glowed faintly. Deirdre could see Catherine Westfall's slim figure reflected in the window, outlined within the frame of the hatchway. Reluctantly, she turned to face Mrs. Westfall. The woman was only shoulder-high to Deirdre, but her form-fitting metallic jumpsuit made Deirdre feel shabby in her everyday gray coveralls. Once the hatch closed and the lights dimmed again, she heard Westfall's breath puff out of her. "Goodness," Westfall gasped. Deirdre smiled knowingly. "It's like being in outer space," she said, extending a hand to Westfall. Quickly recovering, Westfall disdained Deirdre's hand as she stepped up beside her. "It is rather spectacular, isn't it?" "The universe," Deirdre murmured. "All those stars, clouds of them, oceans of them."
"Yes."
"Can you identify them?"
"Some," Deirdre said.
"That bright blue one is Sirius, I think. And over there, the yellowish one, that's probably Canopus." Westfall said, "When we were children, we always tried to find Betelgeuse."
"You grew up in Australia?"
"The outback. I thought we saw plenty of stars back there. But this is rather much, isn't it?"
"Rather," Deirdre agreed.
"Now then," Westfall said, her tone turning businesslike.